Okay, sorry about the change of venue. Hopefully just for, actually next week, I'm not giving shir. I think about a lot of people are away, so we'll pick up Meretz Hashem in 2 weeks. Yes, same location. Okay, we're going to try to cover two topics tonight. It's only a few pages in the Tzurva book over here, but I think there's enough to talk about. I will go back. It seems like every week I start with the same thing, but I posted on one of these rabbinic WhatsApp groups, so I sent last night. I can read exactly what I sent to try and see if we can get any clarity on this grated Parmesan situation.
Nobody seems to agree with you?
I'll read you what happened, then you'll tell me. I wrote, what's the standard of psak on a salad? Caesar seems to be the standard. Such salad with a little grated aged Parmesan in terms of hamtana, right? Bein basar l'chalav, our question. It seems logical to me that one could say the minhag to be machmir on gevina kasha to wait the full amount of time as one would for meat was not set on such a small amount grated into little pieces that you don't really chew mixed into a salad. Perhaps it could be similar to the Yad Yehuda about the melted that we talked about, depending how you understand that. Does anyone know of any opinions that are makel? Is the minhag to wait as long as after meat? Still have not heard back from 11, 12 last night. Not a single response. So I'm not sure. Maybe they just don't like me. I don't know. But
they're all upset.
I was going to write that. Full disclaimer, I've never eaten it.
They're all upset that you beat them in the race. That's what it is.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Maybe you should have sent it to the remittance.
That solves all the problems. Okay. So the two... So there are two issues that I want to discuss tonight. The first one, actually we'll call it three issues, but maybe the second one has a 2A and 2B. The first one is dairy bread, milchik bread, which again I think will take us in several different directions and different scenarios to try and understand. And then the last one is going to be, the second one will be tablecloths and leftovers. Tablecloths and leftovers. Somehow they managed in this book to get it to like 4 pages. It's going to take us a little bit longer than 4 pages, but we will try to do a good job with this. So again, the Gemara here, which discusses the dairy bread, the milchik bread, is actually a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, not in Maseches Chulin. So if you have the book over here, I don't have any copies, and the
86.
Office is under construction for the next 2 weeks, so no copies for a while. Page 86. So the Gemara says, "Maseches Pesachim, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Kedamar Lahu Rabbi Yeshua Lebonei." Like Rabbi Yeshua taught his sons, "Yomakama Lo Talusha Li Bechalba." On the first night, the context there is actually talking about matzah. It's talking about matzah ashira, right? That's the concept. Again, we call it egg matzah, but the truth is that it's really any matzah that has other ingredients besides flour and water. So one of the things that he mentions, don't put in your matzah, is milk. Okay, there are a lot of good reasons why you should not have milk in your matzah, but that's not the important point for now. Mikan va'elach lushli b'chalba. But after the first night, when you're not going to necessarily be eating the meat from the Leil HaSeder, so what's the problem? Make for me matzah and use milk. The chiddush being, and we don't have to be worried about chimutz, right? That's a halacha in chametz that you don't have nothing to be concerned about. V'atani, the Gemara asks, ein lashon es ha'isa, but we learn that you're not allowed to knead a dough b'chalav with milk. V'im lash, and if you did it, kol hapas asura, the bread becomes aser. And this brisa is not, as we'll see in a moment, talking about an iser of chametz. It's not that we are concerned about the chametz. Why are we concerned that you can't need dough with milk? Mipnei hergul avera, because you may come to an avera. What's the avera?
Eating it with meat.
Bread is a staple. It's often eaten together with meat. And it's not assumed, as we'll see shortly, to be a food that is not going, that you have to be concerned that I can't eat it with meat, that I can't make my sandwich out of it with my corned beef and my pastrami, because it's milchik. So you're not allowed, so Chazal said, and again, gets back to our multiple layers of gezeir and being extra careful. Don't have milchik bread. Don't even need it because we're afraid that you're going to end. Somebody's going to end up making a sandwich out of it. So how could you, even if there's not going to be a problem in Hilchos Chametz, there should be a problem in what we call Hilchos Kashrus. How the Gemara deals with the Chametz issue we'll leave aside because it's not our problem. But the Gemara here has an important detail when it comes to the Kashrus issue. And the answer is, Kedamar Ravina Ke'ayin Tura Shari Hachanami Ke'ayin Tura. If you do it like a bullseye, then it is okay. So here also you could do make the matzah as a bullseye, and you're not going to have to be concerned. What does it mean to make it like a bullseye? So that is going to be a machlokas in the Rishonim that we'll see in a moment. But what we see is the Gemara was mechadesh to us first that there's a problem. That there's an isser of kneading the dough together with the milk. And now the Gemara presents a solution to that problem. But the problem still exists. So the problem we understand, right? Is we're afraid that you're going to come to eat it with fleishiks. What's the solution of ka'ayin tura? So Rashi says on the bottom of the page, ka'ayin tura me'at. A small amount. Ka'ayin shel shor. Like the eye of a bull or an ox, right? I guess that's the bullseye is the middle. I guess they have small eyes. I don't know. Is that why it's called a bullseye? Don't know. It's like I got the bullseye wrong the first week also. So that the when it's harder the inside or the outside of my chart, whatever it was. Anyway, if it's only a small amount, then that's going to be prevented. Mutter lalosh b'cholav. Why? If you could eat it at once, then we don't have to be concerned. Why? Well, you're making it. You know that it is milchik, and it's not going to be sitting around, so we don't have to worry that somebody's going to come down for the midnight snack, see the bread there, put their meat on it, and end up having the basar and the milchik bread together. So that is the kula of the Gemara, according to you're not going to leave it. You're not going to leave it sitting around. That is Rashi's pshat. So we'll call it kula number one. Again, we have to see how we paskin. But kula number one, in terms of allowing the milchik bread, will be if it's going to be eaten in small amounts. So again, in terms of the matzah example, so presumably, you're either making one matzah or you're making a smaller matzah. It's going to be eaten, it's going to be consumed right away, and then there's not going to be any problem. That's Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. The Rambam disagrees. The top of the next page, the Rambam Hilchos Machlokes Asuros, Perek Tes, Halacha Chabez, Ein Lashon Ha'isa B'Cholav. Not allowed to knead dough with milk. Im Lash, and if you did, Kola Pasa Surim Pei Hergel Aveira. The bread becomes forbidden because we're afraid you're going to come to sin. All of that was basically a quote from the Gemara. Shema Yocha B'Basa, what's in Hergel Aveira? You may come to eat it with meat. Ve'im shina b'tzuras ha'pas ad she'tiyeh nikeres, harei ze muter. If you make the bread in a different shape, maybe like the shape of a bullseye, right? Something about that was a different shape. That's presumably how he understood. That's where the Rambam got this from. If it's in a different shape, then everybody's going to know that this is not going. There's something different about this bread. Now, it would seem to be that the Rambam isn't necessarily telling us that it has to be that something about the shape, you know, you don't have to make it in the shape of udders or something, I don't know, something that's going to be obvious that it's milk, but the point is that if it's obvious that it's different, then if somebody will ask before they put meat on it. If it's a regular looking loaf of bread, then nobody thinks twice about it. That is a food that we assume to be parv. So machlokas rishonim, again, everybody agrees that you cannot knead the dough with milk. Two possibilities as to what the kula is. If it's only a little bit, or if it is shina b'tzuraso in a different way. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Conveniently, like both kulas. Both kulas. Says the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Simen Tzadi Zayin. Ein loshin yisa b'chalav. You can't knead the dough with milk. Shemi avod ochlam basar. You may come to eat it with meat. V'imlash. And if you did it, kol ha-pas asur, afilu l'ochlam vada. Right? Midrabanan. It becomes like machalos asuros. It is like non-kosher bread. You are not allowed. If you violated this, and you know what it is, but you didn't do it in the minimal size, right? You did it in some sort of large amount, and it doesn't look any different, then you are not allowed to eat that bread even separately. It comes like machalos asuros midrabanan. Midrabanan. V'imhaya davar mu'at, if it's a little bit. Now, we don't know what a little bit means. Kedei achigle bebas achas. You can eat it as one. Now, presumably, we'll see a little bit more in how the poskim understood that. Does not mean that it has to be bite size, but probably one meal size. That it's going to be finished. It will be finished in one sitting. But again, it doesn't have to be, you know, so small that you can pop the whole thing in at once. And the or is important, right? Because the Shulchan Aruch is not saying that you need both in order to be mekel, either or. Either or. O sheshina tzuras hapas, if you change the way that the bread looks, that it is going to be sheteini keres, shelo yuchal babasar, that it will be obvious that there is something different about this bread, and now nobody is going to come to eat it with meat, mutter, then it is going to be permitted. So we have two kulas as to how one would be permitted to make milchuk bread. We'll get to everybody's question about how you have the bread in the supermarket that has a, I'm not going to say, with chakshar followed by a D, and it looks like a regular loaf of bread. We'll have to get there. That wasn't your question. Yeah.
So Rashi seems to have the requirement that not only is it a small amount that it could be eaten at one time, but you have to make it at that time. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to have dropped that requirement. It just says that you have to make it in small amounts.
What's the distinction again? Again, the Shulchan Aruch is definitely saying you make it in small amounts. You're saying that Rashi is saying that you have to
eat it right away. That you make it and eat it at the same time.
The achol mean the miyad word, the miyad. Interesting. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Again, I'm not sure if it's a machlokas, if that's just the way to say it, but we'll see if that's an important component, right? If you're not, the nafkamin is going to be commercial bakeries, right? Can you, right? You're saying that according to Shulchan Aruch, if a commercial bakery makes it in a small amount, that should be fine, even though they're not the one who's going to be eating it, so it won't be miyad.
Well, no, it's also what you said. If you leave it overnight, your kids come down, they eat the bread.
Well, that wouldn't be bebasachas.
He's saying miyad means you're finishing it right now.
If Dina makes food for one meal, she'll make it on a Tuesday and leave it on a Tuesday.
Okay, fine. So we'll see. The Prima Gadim has two different ways of understanding the Shulchan Aruch, what bas achas means. So maybe that'll become clearer after that.
In line with all of this,
yeah.
If it felt to me like instinctively that it had to be the person making it was eating
right.
It. Anyone else would not know that small bread was the dairy bread. Otherwise, it would be in the keres.
Right.
And that's a different shita.
Correct.
The shita of it being small is. So I think that's the point. Is of Rashi, that's one way to read Rashi.
Maybe.
Let's
see. The Mefarshim Shulchan Aruch try to define it a little bit more. We'll see if it's not clear after that. We'll discuss further. Okay. So again, but there's an important. Okay. So then the last line of the Shulchan Aruch, which we're not really going to address. Again, apparently this is what they used to do. I don't know much about baking bread, how they used to do in their ovens, but they would take some schmaltz of the tail, and they would rub it in the oven. And then I guess they would put the bread on that. Why? Meaning, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, you can't make fleishik bread either. I guess like fleishik pam, right? Pam, which isn't just a canola oil or olive oil, but some sort of actual animal fat. Right? You're spraying your pecha on the
what? You don't want it to stick.
Where'd you get that issue from? That's not. He's saying.
Where did I get it from?
No, meaning
I read the Shulchan Aruch.
The milchik bread you can't do that with.
Oh, that was the example. Again, the example that the Gemara gave. Was that you can't do it with, you can't make it with, you can't be nolashit b'chalav. Now, the reason was because you're afraid you're going to eat potentially eat it with meat. Now, there are plenty of people that have milchiks on bread also, right?
Yeah.
So, do we have the opposite concern or not? Meaning, when the Gemara gave the example of kneading it with milk, was that specifically milk and as opposed to meat? Or is that just giving a common example? Because that's more common, probably, I don't know how often you're going to take, fat of schmaltz and put it in and knead it in to your, knead it into your dough. Well, the Shulchan Aruch brings it up because it wants us to make sure that we understand it. The example that the Gemara gave might have just gotten the point across, which is that you need, meaning the point that the bread can't be milchik, or is the point that the bread has to be parv? The way the Shulchan Aruch is explaining it right now is that the bread needs to be parv. Because there's no difference whether you're having it milchik bread with fleishiks or fleishik bread with milchiks, both are going to be a problem. And since you eat bread with other foods more than you eat it on its own, then it should be a problem in either direction. Why did the Gemara Dafka say chalav? Probably because that's more prevalent. No.
Years ago, yeah, it was very popular to take schmaltz and they would smear
on your bread after, but we haven't talked about that yet.
If the bread was milchik, then you couldn't do it. So that's why the Gemara probably uses that as the example, because it was very popular.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, this is probably the more prevalent one.
That's the reason the Gemara uses the milchik of bread.
Yeah.
Because they would...
Good. Presumably, again, the way the Shulchan Aruch is understanding it is that this was probably the more prevalent way, but the point is that the bread needs to be parav, not that it can't be milchik, because we have a concern in either direction. Now, there's a very important...
This would only be with what you need it with, or it be anything, like people would make, if you make, like, put beef in it, or is it only...
We'll get there. Let's see this very important Ramah right now. Says the Ramah, Vilachain, and therefore... Noagin lalush pas im chalav b'chagah Shavuos. This is therefore. So, what's the therefore? Therefore, says the Ramah, on Shavuos you can make milking bread. Why? Because the only concern is not that you can't. The only concern is what you're going to be eating it with. So, if you know you're going to be eating milchiks, then you should be able to make milchik bread and Gam b'shuman the kavod Shabbos, and if you know you're having challah and that's unique for Shabbos, then you can smear the fat in the oven and do it. So presumably, the same thing would be you could put beef inside your challah or whatever it is if it's miyuchad for Shabbos. Ki kol zeh machshav kedavar muat gam kitzuras on mishuna mishar pas. He says in these situations it's only a small amount, which is interesting. Which is interesting, right? Because now it sounds like a small amount, according to the Ramah, is that it could last the whole day. He doesn't say that it has to be for a meal on Shavuos. It could be for Shavuos. And the Ramah explains himself as that's being Dover Muat, is that it's going to last a day. That would certainly preclude the assumption that the person who's doing it has to eat it right then miyad, right? It would be over the course of, again... Everybody apparently would know that on Shavuos the bread is different. Come the leftovers after, that would be a problem already. That would be a problem. Oh, excellent. That we're not going to deal with. It's a kasha on the Ramah. The pashtus is that, again, the difficulty with the Ramah is that certainly the Ramah himself understands in Hilchos Shavuos there is an obligation to have meat on Shavuos. What he might say is, again, the way that the Ramah assumed that you did it was with different loaves of bread, so I guess you'd keep those breads separate, but it sounds like the same reason that I don't even do with, I won't switch in the middle of the meal in my house with parah bread, because I'm afraid that with the kids and so, the milchiks and the fleishiks are going to end up mixing. Like your bread is the milchiks, and for sure you have an issue. We'll leave the Shavuos kasha aside. It's a good kasha. And gam kitzurasa mishunam sharpas. And also, it's going to look a little different. So somehow we managed to stick two things together. Now, the Prima Gautam points out, and this is assumed the halacha to be this way, is that there is a machlokas here between the Mechaber and the Ramah, how to understand Dover Muat. How do you understand Dover Muat? What's the Ramah adding that the Mechaber disagrees with? The Ramah feels the need to say, Haggah, wake up, I got to tell you something else. It seems like the Mechaber would not agree. So he says, "Umau dar rabbi shulchan aruch mashma kedei achil bebasachas." You have to eat it at one time. On the Torah's Chatas, the Rama elsewhere. That's the Torah's Chatas was also written by the Rama. Kol liyoma have a davar muat. As long as it'll be finished that day, it is the davar muat. And that is how we assume. That is how we assume. That is how we assume the halacha. That it's a machlokas actually for Ashkenazim and Sfardim. And Sfardim will have to be more machmir on the amount that you can make. Oh.
Why does the if you look in the English on the Chaber, why does he say similarly one may not bread, bake bread in an oven that had non kosher animal fat? I would just, that's an issue of treifus as opposed to basmati.
I have to.
He got that.
I have to look up inside. See, Zion. It's a problem with the excerpts. Let's see.
You put it in the English version.
Guilty. English, he said, Kayotze Bo, it's coming from, where is this coming from? It's in the Gemara over there. So let's look up the Gemara. Ain't often passed, but Tanah Shetacha, but Aliyah, but it might just be because we don't eat the Aliyah, but. I have to look at the Gemara there. I don't remember. Okay. In terms of, let's just summarize our issue for now, because again, there are going to be a lot of issues, lahalacha, which come out. I don't know if we're going to get the table, the other stuff. But this is a fascinating topic. I think there are going to be major nafkaminas, and understanding the different examples is going to be important. So he quotes here from the Sefer Kashrus again. He's quoted in the Sefer Kashrus before. I have no idea who wrote the Sefer Kashrus. I don't remember. It's a modern Sefer. Not taking away, but so he summarizes. And he says, Asur Chacham lefels lechem b'chol v'b'chama mechashab shema yavol l'ochlem basa. Right, you can't have milk and bread. You're going to come to eat it with meat. V'u'ad din shal lefels lechem b'shumam b'sari. Afilu shal ov mechashab shal chatzom givina v'cholav. It can't go the other direction either. Other direction has to be paro. Good. Elam kein be'echad me'ofanam abav. Unless it's one of the following ways. One is kashiyesh lepas tzura shona umiyuchadas. If it looks completely different. What is a prime example of it looks completely different?
Potato berekas.
Good. Right? The minog in Klal Yisrael, certain Eretzil, has become that potato berekas are square and cheese berekas are triangle. Why? For this reason. It's based on this. It's this halacha. Is to try and, again, how they manage to get everybody to do one thing, that's a miracle. But it seems to be that it is pretty, what?
I'm a tourist, I never know that if I walked into a bakery.
Well, it's labeled also. Oh. It's labeled also. But in addition to that, again, to get around this halachic problem, right? If you're a tourist and you don't know, then hopefully you're asking questions also. It happens to be true in America. Even if you look at the Ta'amti, what are that company, like the frozen ones you get here, which probably aren't even made in Israel. I don't know if they are or not. But they're also, the potato ones are square or rectangular, and the cheese ones are triangle. I remember we stopped somewhere, we were on our way to Hebron. You know, we pulled off somewhere, and you know, some guy on the bus said, "Oh, you got to get the brekkas here." It was Arab Shabbos, and we got the triangle, which my wife assumed was cheese. And in violation of this rule, it was tuna. She was not happy. She was not happy. She's like, "There's something wrong with this cheese." I was like, "It's not cheese." Again, it's not a. It's only a spirit of the law violation because it didn't matter for this. But it mattered if you. We're expecting cheese and ended up with tuna. Okay. He quotes the second halakha here is a very important one, but it should be obvious, right? Which is that kishaniker al panel shel pashi chalaviso b'saris, right? Once we accept that if the tzura is different, then it's going to be okay, then a pie of pizza is fine, right? Why? The cheese is on top. It's as obvious as could be. Similarly, if you made those challahs and you put pieces of like beef jerky or whatever they stick on top of it, and it's then even if you didn't have the kula of the davar muat, it would still be okay. It would be okay on a weekday. Again, because it's obvious from the creation of the thing itself. The OU goes a step further. They hold that even a pizza crust can be made milchik, even if it doesn't have cheese on it. Why? Because it's clear that a pizza crust is a different tzura, and therefore, again, somebody should at least ask themselves, or the pet, you know, look before putting fleishiks on it, because this is something which is normally associated with milchiks. It's not the same thing as coming and seeing your regular sliced bread, where you can assume that it's going to be pariv. A pizza crust is something which is usually associated with cheese, and therefore, even if there was no cheese, they still would give the hechsher on that. There is a machlokas. What if the bread looks like bread, but the bag says on it, D? It says dairy on the outside of the bread. Is that good enough or not? Based on what we have seen until now, we would say,
no.
No. Right? Probably not.
Maybe, yeah, if it was small enough.
Oh, if it's the davar muat, a loaf of bread. Assuming that it was the normal loaf of bread, which is left over from, lasts a few days in the house.
And in this case, it wouldn't make a difference whether it was dairy equipment or not, because you're eating it with whatever you're...
Right. Let's assume it's actual D. So
we would say no, but obviously the answer is yes, because you can buy it in the grocery store.
So the answer is that... Well, I don't fully know the answer. I know part of the answer. Part of the answer is that most kashrus agencies do not rely on that, and will not give the hechsher of the D. I think they will if it's a DE, meaning if it's just the equipment. Again, because that would be a chumrah on top. Because again,
but how does that help? You're still eating it with the
because
meat.
That's an added level of chumrah. That's not the same thing as eating milchiks together with fleishiks. We don't know this yet. We didn't learn not bar not and other fancy things yet, which we'll Mirtz Hashem get to. We don't know that there is any problem with doing that because there's no actual thing there. Rav Shechter quotes from the Rav, from his father, that he thought it was good enough. What's the Svara? Why is that different than the Tzura being different?
Same.
Right? The same way. So the Nafkamina is going to be, I believe, how obvious is it? I mean, if it just has it in the bottom corner where you can't really see it, that's hard to take a different surah. But if somehow it says, big letters or something like that, dairy, then maybe that would be...
Well, what happens if it's next to the
hechsher? So then again, I think in most of those cases, most of the reliable hechsherim that do have it, I believe there's no actual dairy in it. I believe. As most of them, I quoted over here, so one of my friends put this together. What did he say? He quoted from... The major kashrus do not rely on dairy designation on the label as a hecker. This is the opinion of the OU, Kufke, and Starke. That's who he happens to quote from. So I think the cases where they do are questions about bittul and things like that, where there isn't really enough to say that it would be a full-fledged problem. Again, with this kula of the Rav notwithstanding, but it does not seem to be that it is normative. Yeah.
I think the difference between having something on a package as opposed to the bread itself is that at some point the bread's going to come out of the package.
Right. I think that's correct. I think that's part of the counter argument also. Not just that it's not as obvious, but right. Also is that it's not connected to it. They're not one. I think the kula for English muffins, which are often have actual dairy in that, is that they have a different tzura. That is a unique tzura. Right, an English muffin is a different chefza.
And how does someone know not to have a salami sandwich?
On an English muffin?
You see someone
who's ever put salami in an English muffin?
It's a bread.
So I think that's why some are not. I think English muffins. Again, I think you'll never find a loaf of English muffins, right? They're designed to be eaten in one sitting. So I think that's to take advantage of the davar muat, combined with the fact that they look kind of different.
Do your kids know what English muffins are?
No clue. I don't even ever eaten an English muffin.
The next generation has no idea what an English muffin is.
That's chaval for them. They're not going to eat with salami either. They don't know what it is. It's not. Again, I think where they're coming from. He quotes about English muffins also. English muffins are generally certified as dairy. Why is this permitted? Something. They assume that it's a different shape and that it's the size. Again, the point is that it should be enough to at least arouse a suspicion. And my kids should look at it and be like, well, what is this thing? Before they put something on it, because it looks different. It definitely looks different. Right? That's what I was saying before. And the tzura does not have to be that it looks like a carton of milk. Right? It doesn't have to be inherently dairy. The point is that it should raise eyebrows that, wait, maybe I shouldn't be eating this before I look closer at the package and see if it's milkic or not. But a loaf of bread, one shouldn't make that assumption.
The premise is that we know back in the day what a loaf of bread is. A loaf of bread is no longer what a loaf of bread is. The breads that are made in a billion different ways nowadays.
Right. So I think we have to use seichel and figure out what would people assume is a normal loaf of bread versus something which is a little bit different. Let's take a croissant, for example. Right? Those are often made dairy. Why would that be permitted? So there would be two and maybe one additional svar. Again, it's a davar muat, right? Each one of them alone, again, right? We're obviously assuming that the size of that is, otherwise a commercial bakery couldn't exist. The davar muat, we're assuming la halakha is that it could also be accomplished by it would be enough to sit down in one meal and eat the entire thing. Yes, you could buy six of them. You could buy a six pack of them, but it's really six individual ones that happen to be packaged together. But a croissant, A, is a davar muat. B, is it's a different shape. Now, is it possible, like on the Dunkin' Donuts commercials, they're sticking some bacon or something on the... It's possible somebody would, but again, we're talking about likelihood of doing it. Likelihood. The likelihood is that it looks different enough that one should do it. The third kula is the following question, which is, so what about desserts? What about desserts? Can you have milchik cookies? Can you have milchik cookies? You can go at least one, you know, local bakery where most of the baked goods, other than the bread, are milchik.
Xavier was on lechem, no? Not Zonos.
Why?
Is that true or no? It says it was on lechem.
It's assuming about bread. Yeah. So why would that be? What? Oh, but don't you eat it for dessert?
This actually follows your personal treat, though, where dessert is not part of the meal.
That's a Hilchos Brachos issue.
Right, so as long as you benched, we're good for what we learned from that other friend.
Good, but even without that, again, the svara is, right, the svara is that, again, if it's something sweet, which is not normally eaten together meaning in a sandwich with a with meat, then even if it's eaten in the same meal, okay, so a person should check the packaging. The concern has now been downgraded, right? Yes, you might end up eating it and you violate the hamtana, you didn't wait long enough, but the gzeira derabanan to say that you can't have the milchik dough is now going to be another step removed. And the Chazal were not gozer on that. So anything which is sweet. So again, certain desserts, you have the kula similar to the pizza. So a cheesecake, it's what we call nikar mitocho, right? You can see the thing itself is obvious that it is that it's dairy. But even if it's not, even if it's a lemon meringue pie, I have no idea if the crust of the lemon meringue pie has butter in it or doesn't have butter in it. I could end up serving it at the end of my meal. You could. But you have to, at a certain point, you have to take some achrayas for yourself also. The point is that it's not something which you would normally assume is automatically par. Yeah, in our general world, it's more frequent that you know, desserts are par when we go to a bakery. That's just the minhag in our particular place, because we just, you know, the bakeries want to maximize their business, and you're limiting yourself if you're making them milchiks. But there, in terms of this, the iser Chazal did not put it in. Chazal did not put it in place when it came to this. What about what about dividing it up after? Let's say I didn't realize that I can't bake it, so I bake the bread and then I decide afterwards, okay, you know, I'm going to cut it into a specific shape so that anybody afterwards will realize that it is that it's milchik, or I cut it into a specific size so that it'll be clear that it's a davar muat, and a davar muat is going to be, right, a small portion is going to be permitted. So that the Pesukei Teshuva quotes on the bottom, that's going to be a problem already. It became aser once I baked it. I violated the aser derabanan. It's a gzeir derabanan that I'm not allowed to bake the milchik dough. And therefore, the fact that afterwards I'm trying to fix it by putting it in a way that people are going to remember, that is going to be problematic. That might be, oh, very good. That might be why the hechsher on the package isn't good enough. Right? Because the hechsher on the package is also a solution afterwards. Right? It's trying to say, I baked it already. Now, the counter to that is the intention of the whole time was that this is going to be okay and that this hecker is going to be there. But yeah, that's another weakness. And that's where I'm not 100% sure where the Rav, if he wrote this up somewhere, to see what he said inside. Again, I saw it quoted in Rav Schechter's name from the Rav a few times. Obviously, Rav Schechter did not feel strongly enough about it to convince the OU that that should be their psak, or else Rav Belsky strongly disagreed.
Rav Schechter so people can have what they call kosher bread in their areas. And so sometimes they do things in a way.
So there are times when we use lower. Yeah, but again, this is an issur d'rabbanan, so we're not going to have that luxury. We might be able to rely on a kula of the hecker being good enough, you know, if it's a machlokas haposkin. But to say that, you know, we're going to, because we have nothing else, we're going to rely on this. I don't think we have that flexibility. Because the Shulchan Aruch says that it's aser, and it becomes like machos asuros, and therefore one is not going to be allowed to do it. What about other foods? Some other foods that are normally assumed to be parv. If I decide again, I want to make, I don't know. Can you make mayonnaise milchik? I have no idea. No, I don't know what's in mayonnaise. Something like that, some sort of condiment which is normally parv, like. In my ketchup, right. So again, so certain salad dressings are obviously milchik. So that's not what I'm talking about. But let's say you have something which is normally, if somehow there was some ingredient in ketchup that I could replace with a dairy one, and then I did that, is that a violation of the issur d'rabbanan? Yeah, if I eat it together with the my hamburger, so yes, I add milk and meat together. That is an issur. But this special gezeira, this concern, don't do this, and therefore becomes forbidden now before I did it. The mixture itself, does that apply? Or spices? I don't know what spices you do the milchik either. Either way, the Aruch HaShulchan has an important cloud that he says here at the end on the bottom page 89. Says, Ein lisho lama pasak lebesen hakodem betznon shechato besak shabasa shasta lechlo bechalav. Okay, we'll leave the radish aside for now. We'll have to talk about knives a different time. Knives might be a different category. How come sometimes we're going to be concerned, sometimes not? The pas shiny, bread is different. Chazal, we're only goes there on bread. Why? It was a staple. It's a staple which is assumed to be parv. And if it's a staple which is assumed to be parv, that's what Chazal said. That's when I have this concern. I don't have the concern by other things. Bishar devarim lo gazrinan. So we don't make up our own gzeros and say, well, this is an item which is normally going to be considered to be, parv. So I'm not going to be allowed to make it in a way that is milchik. We do not have such a concern. But again, the concern is limited to this. So what about? What about breadcrumbs? Right, every so often, right, you get this question that somebody used a bread. I don't know what they put in breadcrumbs either. That are maybe they made them out of this. But what about breadcrumbs? Are breadcrumbs? We're good. The Marv will be in here at 9. But the The what about breadcrumbs? Are you allowed to have breadcrumbs that are made as dairy? The answer is going to be yes. Again, it's not possible. It looks different. It's not the same thing as bread. Is it confusing? Well, we happen to feel we like to put breadcrumbs on chicken. Now what? What?
You have to start out with a loaf to have breadcrumbs.
So maybe they mix it up afterwards.
You have to start out with a piece of bread before you can. So you have to start as a piece of bread. You can't just make
bread.
Commercially,
uh-huh.
So they make triangle pieces of bread.
Right, I don't know exactly how that. Right, I guess.
So why is bread a problem? It's not bread.
Why are brick is a problem?
Why do we have this whole? Yeah, I mean, why?
Right. So the assumption, the berekas probably aren't a problem. That's the truth. The berekas is probably trying to be extra careful, and it's a manifestation of this. Right, it's a manifestation of this. Yeah.
Well, I think that's more to make sure people don't have dairy after meat. In the sense of the
yeah, again, he brings that in. There are plenty of poskim that are makil on the berekas, and you don't have to the shape. I was trying to bring it as an example of where you see. What the svara is for. But what's interesting is that again, when it comes to breadcrumbs, you would think that's a very obvious case. That's a very obvious case where maybe we should be concerned. Everybody puts breadcrumbs on chicken. And, okay, but Chazal weren't gozer on that. Chazal weren't gozer on that. So you have to pick it up and look at the package. Do I have a problem with the hechsherim that have a hechsher on the breadcrumbs and it says D? But there's a picture of breaded chicken. I do have a problem with that. I do think that's confusing. I think that's misleading. Meaning, if it was just breadcrumbs in the package, so fine. But once you does such a thing exist? Yes. But to have a picture of the chicken with the breadcrumbs on it, you would certainly look at that and think that that's something which is permitted to do with it.
Make a thing with them saying they can't do that.
If you want to get a hechsher, yeah.
Wow.
You don't have to get a hechsher. But they're not a hechsher. Again, so that is the that is it. Again, and obviously, this shouldn't need to be said, right? Once it's baked, you could take a bagel and you can toast it and butter it, right? At that point, right? In terms of how you eat it, you could certainly turn it into milk. So our only concern was in the creation of it. Okay, so we didn't get to the leftovers or the leftovers or the tablecloths, but Amir Tashem, we'll get there after.
Save the leftovers for 2 weeks.
Ah, beautiful. Okay, Shkoyach, thank you.